Welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy. If you love the show and you're dying to work with me, there is a couple of different ways that you can do so. First, I have an incredible menopause course. It's called the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass, and don't be fooled, it also is for women in perimenopause. In this course, I teach you how to thrive. It's my signature method to help you figure out what HRT regimen is best and right for you and how to make adjustments and then how to get this from your own doctor. Now, I also see patients in my private telemedicine clinic. I have a license in several states and I'm always working on more. You can go to my website, heatherhirschmd.com, to find out if you want to take the course and join our incredible Facebook group with monthly lives or work with me one-on-one. Now, I hope I get the chance to work with you. And thank you so much for listening to the show. Good afternoon, my AOWs, and welcome back to the show. It is Thursday, November 2nd. I cannot believe how fast time is going. And today's episode is going to be all about evidence-based medicine and evidence-based care. And it's really funny because this episode was inspired by a patient I saw a few hours ago. And the patient came to see me because she had a condition called premature ovarian failure. Now, you might say, we don't call it premature ovarian failure, Dr. Hirsch, we call it premature ovarian insufficiency. I know. But when she was 17, she's now in her 50s, we did call it premature ovarian failure. And speed down the road a couple of decades, she's been on HRT for many decades, and now they have found atypical cells in the breast, not cancerous cells, just kind of funky cells in the breast tissue. And she is having an incredibly difficult time getting anyone to prescribe her hormone replacement therapy. And I wrote down in my notes next to my computer, because I keep some scrap paper next to me, I find that I love just handwriting. As much as I like convinced my husband that I need an iPad to take digital notes on, I love just free paper. I don't know, it feels free to me. And I said, evidence-based medicine is just killing people. And she said, you know, I go to this big hospital down in Florida that's very famous. And, you know, everyone's afraid to touch me with a 10-foot pole. Because, you know, there's this magical age where they want to take my HRT away from me, which is coming around the bend here. And with these atypical cells, they're trying to just pull it away from me sooner. And I circled, evidence-based medicine is killing women. It's probably killing people, but it's killing women. Now, this is a really funny thing for me to say, because if you've been an avid listener to the show, which I know so many of you are, and thank you, one of my biggest fears in moving from academics to going into private practice was this self-limiting belief that I had that if I went into private practice, I would no longer practice evidence-based medicine and that I would just be this quacky doctor. And there's nothing worse than a quacky hormone doctor. That's just like makes the whole picture just really drives it right home, you know? So evidence-based care is always something that I have been really careful about. It's that I've something really cared about and I've always really talked about. And it's really been ingrained in my head too, because I've always been in academics. And I've now, not only have I gotten over my fears of being the quacky doctor and the quacky hormone doctor, because I know that I'm not. And I proved that to myself and hopefully to all of you. But I'm starting to wonder, is evidence-based care a bunch of shit? Now, let's actually break down what the heck is evidence-based medicine, evidence-based care. Because honestly, I think for a lot of doctors, I know I have a lot of healthcare providers who listen to my show, private practice and academics, and a lot of women who are ancillary healthcare providers, nurses, physical therapists, and all my other lovely ladies who do all the other things. But
in academic medicine, and especially when we first start in school, we are really told that evidence-based medicine is the standard of care. And anything outside of that, you're a quack. And nobody wants that label, right? It's kind of funny because as I'm saying it out loud, it sounds a little ridiculous, right? You guys are like, well, did you ever think for yourself? I don't know. Maybe I'm just starting, guys. Maybe it's just now. Maybe you're watching it in real time. So evidence-based medicine, I guess my definition without actually Googling it is doing what science says you should do. And I'm going to limit this talk specifically to midlife and menopause, okay? I don't want to go outside of that because I know that we easily could and we could go down major rabbit holes. But truth be told, what I know the most about these days is midlife, menopause, perimenopause, and HRT. And non-hormonal options and all the other things. So I just want to stay, huge disclaimer, within this realm. I do not want to go outside of that. We easily could. Happy to continue this discussion with other experts. If you think this episode is kind of fun and you're like, yeah, bring some more quacks on, air quotes, we can continue it. But evidence-based medicine is do what the science says you should do. Do what the science says. And, you know, the science in the early 2000s said hormone therapy, that the message in the science, the message from the media was that hormone therapy will kill you. And the science actually showed us slightly differently, but not initially. It took a lot of post-hoc analyses to uncover the actual science that estrogen was beneficial, particularly for women who started within 10 years of menopause. But we didn't start to see that until 2007, 2013, 2017, 2020. So it did take a little bit of time. But the mantra of evidence-based medicine saying that, you know, hormone replacement therapy should only be given out if symptoms are severe and it could increase the risk of breast cancer, it could increase the risk of cardiovascular disease, was ingrained into so many young healthcare providers who went to medical school, and I did after 2002, that became evidence-based medicine. And the lines get blurred of what is evidence-based medicine and when's the last time you actually checked on that? And did you actually read the study yourself? Or do you just have a bias and you're using evidence-based medicine because you don't want to go back and get retraining, or you don't want to touch something that's emotional or that's political or that's social? So is evidence-based medicine a way to hide behind the fact that we've been treating women like shit for years? Now, there's a great study done by Dr. Phil Sorrell, who is a professor emeritus at Yale. And he did a study in, I want to say either 2012 or 2015. And in his study, he reported that there's been nearly 100,000 premature deaths in women who had been hysterectomized, i.e. no uterus, because they were never offered hormone replacement therapy. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that that's probably an understatement. That's probably a massive underestimate. And I don't think he would at all disagree. But using some kind of mathematical epidemiology and public health, he had to come up with something or draw his line in the sand somewhere. The amount of women that have been harmed because they haven't been fully consulted on the risks and benefits of hormone therapy is astronomical. It's probably in the millions. It's definitely in the millions, actually, especially if we go back years and years and years and years and years. So the damage that we have done saying something is evidence-based, it makes you kind of say, you know, like, it makes you feel sad as a physician because you were also told that evidence-based medicine is the best way to take care of patients. And if you fall outside of that, you're a quacky doctor. So don't be one of those. But you go to bed at night and you leave those exam rooms knowing that you're doing a disservice to your patients. And I bet if you're a healthcare provider, you know that feeling. And if you're a patient and you ever wondered if doctors have those feelings, because we do have them. We do. And oftentimes we hide behind old evidence-based medicine mantras because we are scared to admit we don't know something. We are scared to change our practices, or we are scared to go into something that feels like uncharted territory for us. Now let's go back to this patient because she truly inspired this episode today. And she now has no history of cancer. No history of cancer. Funky cells. There's some funky cells going on in her breast tissue. And premature ovarian insufficiency, previously called premature ovarian failure, who's been on HRT for like 3.5 decades, since she was 17. And now she's being told, well, she actually said that a doctor told her, well, now you're in menopause. And she was like, that's not correct. I was menopausal at 17. My FSH was like 95 and my estrogen was 0 and I had all the tests. So I'm not now just in menopause. And the way we talk to women and we don't consider different physiologic states. We don't consider menopause types, plug for my book, because I think that premature and early menopause absolutely are completely different than natural menopause. And she was just so taken aback by that. She said she didn't know what to say. Like, these words that we use towards women, even by women, right, are really awkward. They're really awkward. I think maybe what this clinician was trying to say is, well, evidence-based medicine says that you should take hormone therapy up to the average age at which you're menopausal, where the risks may outweigh the benefits. Not totally sure. That's not totally new. We're not really sure, but you've got these weird cells in your breast, and so I don't really know what to say here. So you're already menopausal. We're going to take away your estrogen. Bye. So evidence-based medicine is giving me some pause, right? Because this is not the only patient I see who doesn't fall in the black zone or the white zone. This is not like, this is not natural menopause, totally healthy, severe symptoms, HRT. Okay. And this is not your, classic premature ovarian failure. Now I have a history of active breast cancer. My symptoms are gone. I must come off. No, this is a gray zone. And a lot of women fall in the gray zone. It doesn't have to even be this complicated. Premature ovarian failure, funky cells in her breast, wants to stay on HRT, doesn't know why she can't, doesn't know why she doesn't have a say. Every time she goes to the doctor, she is anxious, sweating, can't sleep the night before because she doesn't know when that doctor is going to pull the plug from her. And this is a lady who's been on HRT for 35 years. This is also a lady, like most ladies, who don't think that their whole body consists of breast tissue and what it may do in the future. Evidence-based medicine also has favorites, and boobs are favorites. They just are. They're just favorites. And so evidence-based medicine favors anything that protects the boobs at all costs, despite any downsides to the rest of your body. So let's go for another really common one. Mammograms every year starting at age 40. Do you know that actually there is probably public health-wise, if you want to use evidence-based medicine, more risks to having mammograms every single year? What are those risks, you might say, because I've been doing that. Well, the risk of finding something that would never go on to kill you, like funky cells, or ductal carcinoma in situ, which is considered stage 0 cancer, or a benign cyst that now you are nervous and anxious and writing your will only to go and get poked and prodded and put a clip in and someone tell you, oh, it's nothing, but it could be someday. There are more harms. We do more things to protect the boobs. And that's all in the name of evidence-based medicine. So back to my patient who said, well, you're going to take my HRT away because I have these funky cells, but what about my bones, Dr. Hirsch? Oh, yeah. Well, yes, the estrogen is protective at those, but evidence-based medicine says if there's funky cells, we must not proceed. And she said, but I know you talk a lot about the cardiovascular benefits from HRT. What about that? I said, okay, let's talk about that. It's not FDA approved for that. That's not evidence-based medicine. But does the Women's Health study show that? Yes. Does the KEEP study show that? A little bit. How about the DOPS trial? Yes. The ELITE trial? Yes. There is plenty of evidence to show that estrogen replacement shortly after menopause decreases the risk of cardiovascular disease. decreases the risks of heart attacks. Is that evidence-based medicine? No, it's not. See where I'm starting to get a little, I've crossed the line to where I'm okay putting my shingle out. And of course, look, of course, I like to use FDA-approved hormone replacement therapy. I like to use hormone therapy that I can base these benefits off of. Safety is my number one priority when it comes to my patients. Absolutely. I'm not going to overdose you. I'm not going to give you super therapeutic levels. I'm not going to put a pellet in your ass. But also, you are able to decide for yourself what is right for you, what meets your health goals, what makes you feel good, what improves your symptoms, without me telling you what is or is not on the table in the name of evidence-based medicine that doesn't exist and is actually twisted. You know what happened because of evidence-based medicine, guys? Pellets. Pellets happened because of evidence-based medicine. You know where the Dutch test came from? Evidence-based medicine. Because evidence-based medicine says don't test labs in perimenopause and menopause because it's not helpful. If you want a whole deep dive on that, I have a extremely popular episode on labs and lab testing and why I do lab testing, like a couple of episodes ago. And it comes from the fact that my patients were just saying, I would like to know my estrogen level, Dr. Hirsch. And I said, okay. And apparently it's quite controversial, but it's silly. And anyways, that's a great episode because I don't want to go into lab work here because, again, that took me a whole 30 minutes to get through. But it's another example of where following the name of evidence-based medicine just to march in line has caused a lot of damage to women financially, emotionally, and physically. And I'm kind of sick of it. Yes, it's embarrassing as I sit here and speak out loud in a room by myself that has taken me 41 years to realize this and, you know, 15 years in academic medicine to say like, well, not only was it okay to leave and put up my shingle, but I'm not a quacky doctor. You're kind of, I'm not going to say the word, but there's no logic. There's not a lot of logic. When I actually think about being a clinician, a frontline clinician who sees women every single day, uses shared decision-making and helps them make complex decisions, that the evidence-based guidelines I were taught is not what contributes to my excellent outcomes. Now, I'm not doing anything that is way off the beaten path by any stretch of the means, but I am now starting to question what we have we done in the name of evidence-based medicine to midlife women's health that has harmed a shit ton of women. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Here's another one, right? For a long time, women with a history of breast cancer were told they can't use estrogen of any kind. And if you've been listening to the show and listening to menopausal doctors on social media, you certainly know what I'm about to say. But we now know that vaginal estrogens are absolutely safe, even for breast cancer survivors, even for breast cancer patients, because now we have studies showing that with vaginal estrogens, there's no increased recurrence in breast cancer. And I believe it's the JAMA article in 2019 that was the first to really document that in large numbers. And we also started to think like, well, when we are just, you know, smashing the body with toxins for the boobs, which must be the top priority, you can tell I'm so angry about that. Like, I harbor a lot of anger about that, that it's not okay to just ameliorate your pelvic floor. It's not okay to, you know, do surgery and then tons of rounds and get all the tumor out and then blast it with radiation and then put you on 10 years of anti-estrogen medication. And then just, oh, well, you'll never have sex again because aren't you glad that we blasted you with 10 years? No, I'm not glad, actually. Couldn't you just cut it out? Now we know that that was actually not good evidence-based medicine. And now the there is more guidelines recommending vaginal estrogens. Again, it's still, it's very tiptoed and it's very geographical. It's very geographical. And so you might have, because I see patients all over the country. So there's a wonderful hospital in New York City, which shall not be named, that is absolutely against this. Every oncologist is absolutely against vaginal estrogen in breast cancer survivors. This is ridiculous. What about evidence-based medicine? Wait, now I actually want to use it for its good purpose. And again, women are still getting shit on in the name of evidence-based medicine or older evidence-based medicine, or I haven't heard that evidence-based medicine, or there's not enough of that. So those are my meandering thoughts of the day. Now, if you are a healthcare provider, I would love you to consider taking the course that I have. It's how to manage and prescribe hormone replacement therapy with confidence and ease. And yes, we just got this approved for 10.75 CMEs. And I'm going to be heading back to my Facebook group and letting everyone know the great news is that you can now claim CME credit for my course. I'm really excited about this. What's great about my course? My course is evidence-based with a side of let's show us what the evidence actually says and what's really beneficial for women. How do you share decision-making to prescribe HRT confidently without guessing, and how to know how to manage difficult cases, this case like my patient here that I just talked about in this show, and others, because most women actually fall into the gray zone. They don't fall into the black or white. Here's another one. So anyways, I encourage you to take the class. Absolutely. There's like 100 students now. We have an amazing Facebook group. It's incredible. So I do not hesitate. You can get it in the link in my bio on Instagram, TikTok, and it's also on my website, heatherhirschmd.com. Here's another one. What about women who have no symptoms? You know, should they take HRT? And this is actually one that I get all the time. And, you know, again, it makes me kind of nervous to say these things publicly because, again, I know what the textbook says. The textbook says no. You take HRT if your symptoms are severe. You know I don't subscribe to that because that is just some subjective BS in the name of evidence-based medicine. What's the difference between 4 hot flashes a day and 7 hot flashes a day? We're drawing hairs here. And the reason sorry for my Google notifications. The reason I bring this one up is because the textbook says no. HRT is not for the primary prevention of anything, heart disease, diabetes, lower mortality, even though that's what the studies show. That's not evidence-based medicine. You tell me why. Please, somebody tell me why. I mean, somebody tell me the scientific reason why. Would I take HRT if I had no symptoms? Abso-freaking-lutely. Do all the menopause doctors take HRT? Abso-freaking-lutely. Does that mean that, but it's funny because we all then in the name of evidence-based medicine would, you know, especially if you work in academics, you can't say that out loud. You cannot say that out loud. So like, how unfair is that? This is what is happening behind the scenes. And I'm not pulling the curtain back on something that should be so shocking, but it's, and look, I'm these are just my assumptions. this is all alleged. but I think we're doing a huge disservice by calling everything evidence-based medicine and hiding behind insecurities, hiding behind lack of knowledge, hiding behind the fact that the ACGME or the American College of Graduate Education does not prioritize midlife and menopause or perimenopause. I could go on and on with examples. What about menopausal hormone therapy and perimenopause? Is it evidence-based? Well, there's no evidence one way or the other, but there's clear evidence that it works. You know, and so again, I think what I want to do to bring myself down off the ledge and end this on a positive note, if I can, because do I work with any outlines or notes? No, I sit and talk. Is that I think this is a good time to break the chains of calling everything evidence-based medicine when it has clearly harmed decades of women. And I think if we could get more actually clinicians to say that, and I know some that would absolutely do it, but if we could even change academics slightly, if we could change the FDA, I mean, I don't know about that happening, but if there is ever a time for change, it's now or it's in the next decade. And I hope that my little mark on the world would be that if things change long after I'm gone, this podcast exists somewhere in some old, you know, system of the internet that's probably totally changed in 100 years where someone was like, huh, she was onto something. but I guess also I just want better care for women. As somebody who sits and shock absorbs story after story after story of women being told incorrect shit in the name of evidence-based medicine, I can't sit here and be silenced any longer. And I have an incredible platform in which I can speak my opinions. These are my opinions only, not that of my employer. Darn it, I'm my employer. Anyways, so again, to end this on a positive note, I hope that maybe, sure, this pissed you off a little bit. And maybe it stirred something in you. Maybe it made you think, I want to see Dr. Hirsch. Of course, I have a license in 8 states and I would love to see you as a patient. I hope it makes you continue to want to push back on doctors who don't give you sufficient answers because you now know better than they, or you know a little bit more than they, because that's going to encourage the whole healthcare system to change. You are bringing the change. It's not coming from the medical community. And that's why I wanted to go into midlife and menopausal medicine, because it pissed me off. Once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. And once I saw it, I couldn't not help women because of the injustices that have been done. We think we have come so far. Well, sure, we can prevent an unintended pregnancy, but after you have your kids, it's still pretty desolate out there. We're doing so much good stuff. We're raising so much awareness. So many public figures and celebrities are talking and speaking and holding panels and forming nonprofits. And, you know, you guys are just doing so much of the grassroots work and activism, and I'm so, so proud. So if there's ever a time for it to change, it's now. I like to use this podcast as my therapy, as you know, and not only am I glad that I hung up my shingle, but I'm becoming more comfortable and confident in why I think something from what I've seen from my own two eyes and from a decade of treating all types of women through, you know, PMDD to PCOS to perimenopause and menopause and postmenopause and beyond. I love you guys so very much. Thank you so much for being an avid listener to the show. Thank you so much for all of your support and for all of the hugs that I know that you're giving me. And I really appreciate it. It's such a labor of love, but I do this because I feel like we are growing stronger together. And I'll see you guys next week for a brand new episode. Bye, everyone. Thank you guys, as always, for listening to this show. If you love the show, you're going to love my new book, Unlock Your Menopause Type. This book is really meant to help you identify and target and therefore best treat your most bothersome menopause symptoms. In the book, I go through all the different ways menopause can be treated with HRT, of course, non-hormonal therapies, and diet, exercise, and lifestyle. You can get the book anywhere books are sold. And if you are so inclined, please leave a book review wherever you bought your book. I will absolutely be thanking you. I hope you enjoy reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it. If I haven't already done so, thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.